ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder of Acharya of ISKCON, chapter 7, text 16. Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukritin arjuna artho jignyasur arthati jnani cha bharatarshabha. Translation: O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Purport: unlike the miscreants, these are adherents of the regulated principles of the scriptures, and they are called Sukritinaha, or those who obey the rules and regulations of scriptures, the moral and social laws, and are, more or less, devoted to the Supreme Lord. Out of these, there are four classes of men: those who are sometimes distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are sometimes inquisitive, and those who are sometimes searching after knowledge of the Absolute Truth. These persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service under different conditions. These are not pure devotees, but because they have some aspiration to fulfill, in exchange for devotional service. Pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu defines pure devotional service thus: Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana kama janavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktirutama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. Those who are always busy with fruitive activities come to the Lord in material distress, and at that time associate with pure devotees and become, in their distress, devotees of the Lord. Those who are simply frustrated and also come sometimes to associate with the pure devotees and become inquisitive to know about God. Similarly, when the dry philosophers are frustrated in every field of knowledge, they sometimes want to learn of God, and they come to the Supreme Lord to render devotional service and thus transcend knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma and come to the personal conception of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Lord or His pure devotee. On the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge, and those who are in need of money are free from all material desires, and when they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with spiritual improvement, they become pure devotees. As long as such a purified stage is not attained, devotees in transcendental service to the Lord are tainted with fruitive activities, the search for mundane knowledge, etc. So one has to transcend all this before one can come to the stage of pure devotional service. This lecture today has been pre-titled Sentimental Devotion and Solid Attachment. Now, usually we hear that attachment is not good. That means material attachment is not good. But to be solidly attached to Krishna is spiritual attachment. So there's a difference between a sentimental devotion in which someone is attracted to Krishna and pure devotional service when one is solidly, firmly attached to Krishna, and he doesn't want at any time to do anything but hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna, serve Krishna. That is called pure devotional service. Pure devotional service, we may have heard this term, suggests that there is another kind of devotional service. You might think, well, if there's pure devotional service, then is there impure devotional service? Can devotional service be impure? Not really, because devotional service means, by its very definition, that which is pure. But when it is performed with an impure motive, or when it is performed sometimes only, not always, that is called mixed devotional service. Just like we hear about the pure chanting of the holy name, there are different stages in chanting of the holy name. There is nama aparada, offensive chanting. Then there is the clearing stage, when one is trying to be purified, called nama abhash. Then there is shuddhana, pure chanting of the holy name. So you may think, well, the name is pure. Purno shuddha nitya mukta, that is stated in the Padma Purana. Nama chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya rasa vigraha, Purno shuddha nitya mukta, abhinatvan nama namino. In the Padma Purana it is stated that the holy name of Krishna is like a wish-fulfilling stone. Harinama chintamani. And this name is non-different from Krishna. The name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. And in that way, the name of Krishna is full of all transcendental consciousness, transcendental mellows. The name of Krishna is perfect, shuddha, pure, purna shuddha, eternally liberating. The name of Krishna has got nothing to do with this material world. So then how we can say shuddhanam? Is there any ashuddha? No, the name of Krishna is never impure. But when we chant, because we don't chant with pure consciousness, therefore our chanting is said to be impure. But the name of Krishna is never impure. So pure devotional service, Prabhupada has mentioned in this purport, as distinguished from that of those who come to Krishna with different material desires. Those who come to Krishna with different material desires, they may be said to have some kind of sentimental devotion, sentimental attachment to Krishna. This has been defined by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He has analyzed the process of devotional service in many books, especially Jaiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Harinam Chintamani. If you get the opportunity, please study these very important books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One of them you may have seen has recently been published. He's given many books which help us to advance in devotional service. There's one book called Bhaktyalok. If you can read that book, that is very nice. So in his books, he has defined there is what is called Lokik Shraddha and there is Shastriya Shraddha, different kinds of faith in Krishna. Lokik Shraddha, you know this word Lokik, it means popular, normal, or of the world. And Shastriya means that which is based upon Shastra. Other terms that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given are this Saragrahi, Saragrahi Vaishnava. Sar means the essence. Grahi means one who accepts. So Saragrahi Vaishnava. And another kind of devotee is called Bharavahi. Bhara, you know, means the weight. So someone who is carrying a weight. It means someone who is taken to devotional service but is still carrying many material conceptions, materialistic ideas. Now we see in this verse that we've read today, Krishna says different kinds of people come to me. Sukritin, those who are pious. And in the next verse, Krishna will say, Udara sarva evaite. That all these persons, they're very udar, liberal, magnanimous, they're good people. Anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, they are good. Compared to who have been described in the verse previous to the one we read today, who are called duṣkṛti. That means they're always engaged in impious or sinful activities. So the opposite of that is Sukriti, a pious person. Now, Krishna has analyzed different kinds of people who come to Krishna consciousness. Someone has very distressful circumstances, they're feeling very difficulties, therefore they come to Krishna. Or someone is desirous of money, so they come to Krishna. Or someone is simply frustrated, they want to know what is the solution to all the problems, or they're curious, philosophically inquisitive, or someone may be engaged in the spiritual path of trying to understand the absolute truth through different scriptural analyses. So these different kinds of people, if they're pious, that means here pious means those who have some faith in Krishna, some beginning faith in Krishna. Then in difficult circumstances or under certain material circumstances, they will turn to Krishna. So that beginning coming to Krishna, under any circumstances, that is good. Rupa Goswami, quoting from, or taking the idea from Srimad Bhagavatam, has said, yena tena pakarena anah krishna ina shivayat. Somehow or other, let people come to Krishna. Let them come, somehow or other. Pure devotional service, that is a very high ideal for those in this material world. The haitukiya pratihata. Pure devotional service means without any material motivation and without any interruption, 24 hours a day, all the time acting for Krishna. So it's a very high ideal which for people, most people, they can't imagine what it means to be free from material motives. Most people, even religious people, cannot imagine what it means to come to God without any material motive. In fact, most religious people in the world think that the purpose of religion is to go to God and get something from Him. Isn't it? Most people think that, well, you go to the church or the mosque and the temple, Gurudwara, whatever it may be, and you pray to God, however He may be designated or conceived of within different religious processes, and you pray to God and God gives you something. Isn't it, most people? Tirupati, very popular temple. So many people are going. What for? To get something. What are you coming for? I want to pass my exams. What are you coming for? I made a big business investment. It's not looking too good. I have to come and get the blessings of the Lord. What are you coming for? Well, I have to have an operation. It's a little dangerous. So better go to biology first. So these are pious people. They have faith in God. But it's not the kind of devotion that's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Paramahamsa Samhita, that which is meant for the topmost transcendentalists. Now, it's understood that not everyone is the topmost transcendentalist. Most people have a materialistic concept of life. Practically, you can say that this Krishna consciousness movement, which is now spreading all over the world, it's practically the only movement or religious society which is teaching pure devotional service. There are many religious paths which describe to serve God in different ways. But practically only within this Krishna conscious movement there is being taught pure devotional service, a different concept of life, in which one approaches Krishna not with any material desire or personal desire, but only simply to serve Krishna out of love. Now, how to get to that stage? First of all, one has to, before one can even think of being a pure devotee, he has to realize or have some desire for that. Most people are thinking that let us enjoy this material world, and if God can help us enjoy it, so much the better. And very good, when we die we can go to heaven and we'll be happy enjoying life there too. Mostly people are thinking like that. So, such people, they may be pious. They come and pray to God. But they don't really know what is the purpose of life, or what is our relationship with God, or even who is God. People have so many different strange ideas. When we ask people, well, who is God? Mostly people imagine some idea. They don't actually know what it means. This means that they may have some sentimental attachment or pious proclivity towards God. But actually they don't know much about who He is or why we should be worshipping Him or what the ultimate goal of worshipping Him is. So how to know that? Knowledge, of course, will have to come from Shastra. How can you know about God? So many people, they like to talk about God. Well, my opinion, God is like this or God is like that, but God is not subject to our opinion. God is as He is, and out of His kindness to us, He gives us Shastra, which describes who He is. What does He look like? What is His position in relation to us? What is our position in relationship to Him? This is described in Shastra. This is called the first stage of understanding God. In Shastra is called Sambandha Gyan, which means to know what is our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to know that, first of all, we have to know what is the meaning of the word God. God is a very vague term. There are specific terms. Sanskrit language gives us specific terms for describing God. Purushottama, the Supreme Person, the person who is above all ignorance. Purusham Paramam Divyam, Gita, Krishna describes. He is the Supreme Person, transcendental, beyond this material world. Then the word Bhagavan, this word is very much misused. There are many people who like to advertise themselves as Bhagavan. But actually the word Bhagavan has a specific meaning, who is replete with all opulences in full. Aishvaryasya, samagrasya, viryasya, yashasya, shriyaha, jnana vairagya yoschaiva, shannang bhaga itingena. One who owns everything, who is the proprietor of everything, all wealth, all strength, all fame, all knowledge, all beauty, all renunciation, everything, all qualities are in that person, coming from that person, that is God. It's no ordinary cheap thing to be God. Nowadays we have so many imitations, people claiming themselves to be God. For anyone who has knowledge from Shastra of what is the meaning of God, these people, they're just jokers. They should be on the comedy show, that's all. Unfortunately, they are cheating people. People are so foolish. How can an ordinary person be accepted as God? Or ordinary means he may have some mystic power. How can he be accepted as God? Because people do not have knowledge from Shastra. What is the meaning of God? If they see someone doing a little magic, they think, oh, must be God. Because they're foolish, they don't know. God isn't a magician. He doesn't have to do tricks to make a living, to fill his belly. God is the proprietor of everything. So, Shastric knowledge is required to understand who is God, then Sambandha Gyan, what is our relationship with Him. That means you have to know who we are too. Nowadays also, particularly nowadays, because of lack of Shastriya Gyan, because of lack of knowledge, many people think, I am God. Which is a very, very extremely foolish idea. If you're God, then why do you have to come to Dubai and work for a living? You don't find such an idea. If you're God, then how is it that you don't control all the universe? So they have some idea that in future I will become God, which is another foolishness. God means supreme. If you're not supreme now, that means you're not supreme, because you're under the control of some other power. When you get a toothache, can you control it? No. then how can you claim to be God who is the supreme controller? When you have to go to pass stool, you can't control it. So how are you God? These are foolish ideas. The people who don't have knowledge from Shastra of who is God and how to act in our relationship, that is called Abhideya. Then Prayojan means to understand what is our ultimate goal of life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna in the spiritual world. So this can be understood by those who have knowledge from Shastra. Therefore, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we very much emphasize on Shastra, not only distributing Shastra, but hearing regularly the message of Krishna from devotees of Krishna. Devotees of Krishna means those who know the knowledge of Krishna in the parampara system. There are many people who may be describing Shastra, but they may misrepresent also. Just like Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear what is the ultimate message of Gita. At the end of Gita, after describing so many things, Krishna says, Sarvagu yatamam bhuya shunume paramangvataha. Now Krishna says, I will speak to you the most confidential of all knowledge. Paramangvataha, what is my topmost instruction, which is, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru sarvadhamam parittadya mamekam sharanam raja. Think of me, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me, giving up all other conceptions of life, surrender to me only. This is the message of Gita. Bhakti is the message of Gita. Surrender to Krishna, who is Purusham Paramam Divyam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the message of Gita. But there are many people who, because they're envious of Krishna, they don't want to accept Krishna's supremacy. They misrepresent the message of Gita in many ways. And even they may speak of bhakti, but actually they're devoid of bhakti. So this people, they may come in the beginning with some kind of sentimental attachment to worship God. If they are fortunate to come in contact with a pure devotee of Krishna, then they can begin to develop their Shastriya Shraddha, their faith in Krishna, which is on the solid basis of scriptural understanding. God has given us scriptures to guide us in this world of darkness. This world is considered to be the world of darkness. Why darkness? That is compared to ignorance. We are in ignorance. We do not know why we are suffering. People who are very much in ignorance don't even know that they are suffering. Those who are a little more enlightened, at least they can understand that this material world is full of suffering. Why do we have to suffer? Why do we have to get old? Why do we have to die? Why are there diseases? An intelligent person asks these questions. We don't know. That means we're in ignorance. So, tamasima jyotirgamaya. Come out of the darkness. Come to the uttama position. Come to the position beyond ignorance. For that, it is required to get knowledge of Shastra. Shastra also has to be taught by those who are knowledgeable in Shastra and those who have realized the purport of Shastra. There's a difference. It's not that everyone is all the same. Those who are coming to Krishna with some sentimental idea, yes, Krishna is very nice, that's good. But it's not the perfection of life. That is also a common mistake. People think that, yes, I love Krishna. We like this. There are many people, especially in India, people in India, generally they tend to be fortunate, many of them, because they have some attachment to Krishna, maybe from previous life or whatever. They're naturally attracted to attend the aartis in the temple. Of course, if they don't have Shastriya Shraddha, if they don't have solid attachment, then they may think that, well, every temple's all the same and all the demigods are the same and they'll go to any temple. And even if they set up some temple of someone who is claiming to be God, but is not God. And there are many such people. I think one came here recently to Dubai. Someone claiming to be an incarnation. So people without any knowledge, they think, well, one temple, another temple, it's all the same. They don't know. Those who are more fortunate, they at least know this much, that Krishna is supreme, as he describes in Bhagavad Gita. Mataparataram nanyat, Krishna is supreme. Krishna is that person who is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that not all the demigods are all the same, but young Brahma, Rudra, Maruta, young Brahma, Ranendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stundanti, Divyai, Stavaya. All the demigods, they offer prayers to Krishna because he is the supreme. So, many people, they may be attracted to Krishna. How beautiful is Krishna? They like to chant the names of Krishna. So these are all very good for becoming Krishna conscious. But unless one has fixed up knowledge of who Krishna is, what our purpose of life is, how to act in Krishna consciousness, which is based on Shastra, received in the Parampara system, then the tendency will be to remain on what is called the neophyte stage of devotional service, in which one's devotional service does not become mature, in which one remains simply, on one hand, somewhat attached to Krishna, but on the other hand, attached to material sense enjoyment. In this verse which you read today, the four kinds of people that are described, they are called pious, but they're not described as pure devotees because they like Krishna, but they have material attachments also. But pure devotee means one who has realized, both by practical experience and especially by gaining knowledge from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, that this material world is not a fit place for a gentleman. This material world is a place of suffering. By material life, by seeing very nice things, enjoying the sense of touch, hearing what is pleasant, smelling what is pleasant through the senses. But it is a source of suffering, not a source of happiness. That is the whole mistake in material life. So one who realizes that the whole endeavor for material enjoyment does not bring any enjoyment, and that our real purpose of life is to understand that anyway, I'm not the body, so why am I trying to enjoy these senses? I'm spirit soul, I'm atma. Therefore, I should come to my spiritual position. And what is this spiritual position? To understand, what am I supposed to be doing? Alright, I'm atma, so what does the atma do? So that is explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Again, you have to understand from Shastra. Namaivangsha jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatanaha. All the living beings are parts and parcels of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has even more specifically defined that. Jivesu rupai Krishna nitya das. Every living being is a servant of Krishna. So that knowledge is described in Shastra. And by taking that knowledge, one can begin to act on that platform. If one is simply attracted to Krishna but doesn't take guidance in how to become free from material desires, then he may take Krishna bhakti as also another kind of sense enjoyment. That, oh, someone is singing very nicely, yes, what a nice bhajan, I like this singer more than that one, did you hear the nice lilting voice? Even singing bhajans for Krishna, if we take it as something for me to enjoy, then it becomes a kind of sense enjoyment. Or we think that there's nice Rasalila dance, I will enjoy watching it. You can, the people dress up for doing Rasalila. We will enjoy. Or we will enjoy some drama. So the whole motive there is how I like Krishna, but how much I will enjoy. Which is the whole disease of material life. We're thinking, how I will enjoy. But a pure devotee of Krishna sings very nicely for Krishna, performs dramas for Krishna, does everything for Krishna, for his enjoyment. Not that we take Krishna to be an object of our enjoyment. So to come to that platform of solid attachment to Krishna means we require training, because at the present time, We are in the diseased condition of thinking how I will enjoy. Therefore we come to Krishna, Artho Jignasu Arthati. Dear God, I have a backache. Your job is to solve it. The doctor couldn't do it, and anyway he's charging too much money, so you do it. Or, dear God, I heard you have a lot of money, give me some. Other people have money, why are you giving to them, not me? Give me also. So, this is coming to God with material desires. But a pure devotee of Krishna, he doesn't desire anything material from Krishna. Or even if Krishna offers him anything, he uses it in Krishna's service. Some pure devotees of Krishna, they live as niskinchan sadhus. They have practically only the clothes on their body. Others, there are different kinds of devotees of Krishna. They may accept all kinds of opulence, but use it in Krishna's service. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he had his room in Mayapur. He was staying, that is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very small room. His disciples had bigger rooms. So for himself, he didn't want anything. And his Krishna conscious movement spread all over the world. There were so many millions of books being distributed. So his income from that was actually millions of dollars. But he didn't take any of it personally, but used it for building temples for Krishna, for printing more books for Krishna. So a pure devotee of Krishna, he can accept everything in this world, but not for his enjoyment. The spirit is different. You see the point? That the mood, the attitude of a devotee is, yes, let me use everything in Krishna's service. So even a devotee may have much money, but he personally is not attached to that. And the test of that is that he used it all in Krishna's service. Everything should be used for Krishna. So this is the motive of a pure devotee, to spend every moment of his time throughout his life in the service of Krishna, without holidays, without weekends. Weekend is there, but not that he has it. The point is he doesn't take a break from devotional service. And his motive is only to please Krishna, not for any personal sense enjoyment. Even there may be some kind of subtle enjoyment that one may enjoy on the subtle platform, being respected as a great guru or a great spiritual leader, or one may be respected as a great reciter of the scriptures, very good lectures, very nice singing. But a pure devotee is not interested in any kind of personal enjoyment, even being praised by others. No, pure devotee is simply interested in serving Krishna. Everything should be done for Krishna's pleasure. So one can come to that platform. A devotee who comes in the beginning stages, he may have so many personal desires. That's accepted by Krishna here. But the point is not to stay simply on that platform, but by coming in contact with devotees of Krishna to realize that, oh, how wonderful is Krishna, that we have come to Krishna asking for some money or some relief from material distress, but actually that's not so important. What is more important? To love Krishna. That is the very nature of Krishna, that he is attractive. His name Krishna means who attracts everybody by his own qualities. Krishna is a Tintaguna Swarupam. He is the very embodiment of all wonderful transcendental qualities. So those who come to Krishna, even for some material desire, if they come in contact with the devotees of Krishna, who are wrapped in love of Krishna, then they will get some idea beyond this lokik shraddha, this, you could say, kaccha, it's like kaccha, not very fixed up, not very strong. This beginning attachment to Krishna. So how to become pakka? That requires to understand what is our relationship with Krishna as described in the scriptures. and to act in that relationship so that even in all kinds of circumstances, one will remain attached to Krishna. Because one may come to Krishna for money, and one who's neophyte to Krishna may grant him. He may not grant him also. Kangshantang kamanang siddhim yajante hadevataha. Those who are materialistic, they worship the different demigods for the sake of material gain. Shipram hi manushe loke. Very quickly, people within this material world, they get fulfillment of their desires by demigods. But Krishna may not. Come to Krishna for fulfillment of material desires. He may not. Krishna acts in different ways. Krishna is not just, okay, you want this, okay, take it. You want this, okay. Next one, what do you want? Okay, take it. Next one, what do you want? $2 million, okay. What do you want? Got a pain in your back? Alright, gone. Next. Krishna's not like that. He very personally considers, what do you want? Oh, you want $2 million. Well, actually, I don't think that would be very good for your spiritual advancement. Actually, I think it's better if you lost whatever money you have now. Krishna may do that. You don't know how Krishna works. He may take everything away from you materially, but give you something which is better than you can even imagine. You see, people who are coming to Krishna with material desires, they don't know actually what to ask for. There's one story, one lady was going through the forest. You know, even now in India, the few forests that are left, people go and they collect wood. An old lady was doing like this. She collected a lot of effort, collected so many twigs of wood, put it in a big bundle on her head. She was walking along and fell off. It was so heavy, she couldn't pick it up again. So she called out, "Oh, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda." So Govinda came, said, "What do you want? Just put this back on my head." See, Govinda can give you, even materially can give you more than that. Govinda can give you relief from birth and death. He can give you a big palace to live in. But even if you live in a big palace with other people bringing you firewood, you still have to die. Govinda can give you freedom from birth and death, can give you love of Him. But those who don't know what to ask for, they ask for some petty material boon. So Krishna, if people come like that, often He will arrange their lives in such a way that eventually they come to the point of thinking that actually my real goal of life should be to love Krishna. When Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Krishna, "How can we know who has got your mercy?" It's a very interesting question. How can we know who has got Krishna's mercy? Yudhishthira Maharaj was asking because he is a great devotee of Krishna. But you see that the Pandavas, they lost everything. They were put through so many difficulties. So Yudhishthira may have been thinking that, now, what's the use of being a devotee of Krishna? The materialistic people might think like that. That the materialistic people are thinking that, well, if we go to Krishna, well, we become like the Pandavas, what's the use? Of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj himself wasn't thinking like that. Because he is an example of a devotee who, in spite of all difficulties, never gives up their lotus feet of Krishna. But he asks, what does it mean to get your mercy? What is the symptom? So Krishna says that someone who I'm very kind to, I gradually take away all their money. With the result that he becomes attached to Krishna. And when you become attached to Krishna, of course it's not in every case. You see that many times devotees, even Krishna may give them more materially. But they don't become attached to it because they think how to use for Krishna. Just like Prabhupada, in his secular life, before he took up preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, he was doing business. But his business wasn't as successful from the material point of view even as preaching Krishna consciousness, because he started off going to America with only 40 rupees. And eventually, in a few years, he had temples all over the world. So if you want to say from the business point of view, it was a good investment. Started off with 40 rupees and in a few years had temples all over the world. So many workers, all working for free. Didn't have to pay them anything. Long hours, hard work, no pay. Sounds like slave labor. But the devotee is doing voluntarily because they're getting something which they can't get. Even by getting a good job, even in Dubai. If you get love of Krishna, then you may have job offers. Actually, it happens many times. Our devotees, they're selling books of Prabhupada in the airports in America, different places, and different people are watching them and come up and say, "Hey, you're a good salesman. I can give you a good job. I'll give you $10,000 a month. I'll sign you up immediately." What will you do? What will you do with the money? You have to serve Krishna. You're getting something more that you can't get, even if you are the Bill Gates II. Even if you have so much money, what will you do if you don't have love of Krishna? Pure devotee sees everything in this material. What to speak of Bill Gates? Then even Indra he sees. Poor Indra. He thinks he's enjoying being the king of heaven. He should join the Sankirtan movement. It's much better than being Indra. Vidhi Mahindra Adischa Kitayate. That Prabodhananda Saraswati, great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said that in the vision of a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahavaranyaya, Namo Mahavaranyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gortushena. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation of God. Generally, the bogus incarnations, they say, "Worship me, I will give you money." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Worship Krishna, you will get love of Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna." This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. So, Yad Kripa Kataksha Vaibhavatam Tam Gaurameva Stumaha. Who has got even the slightest drop of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He thinks that even the position of Indra or Brahma is insignificant. Better to be chanting. Who has got the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna? Better than any position in the material world. So that's not only Shastriya Shraddha, that's not only faith based on scripture, but by practical experience also. It's not when we're talking of faith, sometimes we say, faith, what is this faith? But practical experience. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. By your own experience, you can find out. It's not that you have to wait 10,000 years, then you will find out what is Krishna Bhakti. Immediately you begin chanting, dancing, engaging in the service of Krishna, then immediately Krishna blesses you with spiritual happiness, which you can never get even with a good job or a good business, even in Dubai or anywhere else in the world. Because there is a different quality of life beyond anything the material world has got to offer. You ask any one of our devotees, you offer them, we'll give you, you swap with Bill Gates, they'll say, "No, forget it. He's in Maya, I don't want to be like him." "Okay, give me Bill Gates' position, but I'll go on chanting Hare Krishna. Take his money, use it all in Krishna's service." But they don't aspire, they don't think that, "Well, I should have a better job, more money, all this." And devotee is satisfied because he has got Krishna consciousness. Something practical, personally experienced. So that kind of happiness or faith in Krishna consciousness by which you don't want anything in this material world because you have that which is better, which is love of Krishna, that is a quality of devotion far beyond that of simply some sentimental, "Yes, I love Krishna, but I also like everything else in the material world." That is based on firm knowledge of Krishna. That is based on practice of Krishna consciousness as described in the scriptures. That is based upon development of Krishna consciousness in association of pure devotees of the Lord whose only desire is to serve Krishna. So that is based upon these, particularly Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam, these important scriptures which describe what is our real goal of life. Nate vidu swartagatim hi vishnum. Those who don't know that our goal of life is to love Krishna, they are bewildered in this material world. And those who are beginning in Krishna consciousness with a sentimental attachment, they may also not know what actually that the goal of life is to love Krishna. But they may think that, yes, Krishna is very nice. So that's the beginning. But one has to come beyond this platform to become solidly, firmly attached to Krishna, in love of Krishna. And much, much more could be said about this, but we are limited by time, so I'll finish here. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions about this, you may please ask. Do you have that writing system here also? Or?
We request them to stand up, lift the hand and ask.
Okay. How are we doing for time?
We have a few questions for the next 15 minutes.
Okay. Jai, Hare Krishna. Please.
And speak out loudly, please.
Elaborate. Well, actually, you'll find sometimes the same question may be answered in different ways. Prabhupada always used to describe this verse as the first installment of Krishna's mercy. The real mercy is that one becomes a pure devotee of Krishna. But for helping people to be pure devotees of Krishna, Krishna sometimes arranges that their material life doesn't go very nicely. Here it said that those who are distressed, they approach Krishna. So actually, when we're more distressed, those who are pious, they will remember Krishna more. Kunti Devi, she requested from Krishna that give me more problems. Materialistic people don't pray like that. She was praying, let me have more problems, because if there are more problems, I'll remember you more. She was never going to give up thinking of Krishna, but in more distress, if there's more material distress, then those who are devotees of Krishna, they remember Krishna more. So Prabhupada describes this as the first installment of Krishna's mercy, that one who wants to love Krishna, but he still has many material attachments, Krishna may sometimes take them away, so that we don't have anything left to be attached to anyway. So you only got your attachment to Krishna left. Please speak very loudly. In the context of the Bhagavatam, is there any context outside that? Actually, the Bhagavatam has been, the description of Bhagavatam has been described in another book by Sanatana Goswami called Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which analyzes the various levels of devotion to Krishna. Succinctly, we can say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshitanyas Taddhama Vrindavanam, that Krishna is the supreme worshipable personality of Godhead. His abode is Vrindavan, then Ramya Kachid Upasana Vraja Vadhu Vargena Yakaupita. The best mode of worship is that conceived of by the gopis of Vrindavan. So we can say, but best, at the same time, one hand we say the gopis' love for Krishna is the best, but on the other hand, we shouldn't consider that materially, because all the devotees are best. If you say, well, we only like the gopis, we don't like the cows, but Krishna, he doesn't accept that. Gopis mean cowherd girl, so they have to be cows also. Krishna loves the cows. He loves even the blades of grass. They're all devotees of Krishna. So best, we shouldn't misunderstand that from a materialistic point of view and think that there's anything lacking in the love of Krishna of other devotees. Their love for Krishna is perfect also. There are varieties in of service of Krishna, and Krishna accepts them all. Mm-hmm. What is the question actually? Well, you're saying it's according to Shastra that the Lord appears as Balaji Venkateshwar and that he has debts. So if it's according to Shastra, can we believe it? If God wants to do like that, that's called his Leela. He also appears as the child of Devaki and Vasudeva. So how can God be the child of anyone? If he wants to, that's his Leela. That's it. That's called Leela. That's why if you want to understand, you have to go through Shastra. That's the whole point of the lecture I'm speaking today, is that we have to have faith in Krishna based upon Shastra. So Shastra teaches us about the greatness of God. Then gradually you see in Bhagavad Gita, there's not much about Krishna's Leela. That is described in Srimad Bhagavatam and in other Puranas. So first we have to know what is the science of God and what is His greatness. Then we can know the intricacies of it. According to the intricacies of Leela, even though Krishna is the supreme person, He sometimes, for the sake of enjoying pastimes with His devotees, He sometimes accepts an apparently inferior position. So when we've understood how Krishna is supremely great, then we can understand how even when apparently taking an inferior position, He doesn't lose His greatness. Even though Krishna appears as the child of Vasudeva and Devaki, still He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And although apparently Vasudeva and Devaki are greater than Him being His parents, ultimately He is the parent of everyone, including Vasudeva and Devaki. So this actually has to be understood from an advanced level of Krishna consciousness. What process we have to do to bring the non-devotees to the Krishna consciousness stream? How to bring non-devotees to Krishna consciousness? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was, when he took initiation, he became, again, this is Leela, Krishna conscious is, Krishna Chaitanya means Krishna conscious. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna conscious personified. But his Krishna conscious apparently manifested in full just after taking initiation. So his guru told him, Na chau gao bhakta sange karo sankirtan hari nama upadeshi tara sarvajan. His guru told him, sing and dance, sing the names of Krishna and dance in the association of devotees, perform sankirtan, instruct others in chanting of Hare Krishna and in this way deliver everybody. So by instructing others in Harinam, we can bring them to Krishna consciousness. But we ourselves also have to practice. Bharata bhumite hoilo manusha janma ja janma shata kari karo para upaka. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that especially those who are born in India, in human birth, they should make their life successful. In other words, themselves become Krishna conscious and then try to uplift others. So this question may be answered in many ways, by giving people Prabhupada's books, by speaking to them about Krishna, by giving them Krishna prasad. Ultimately, if we ourselves are Krishna conscious, if we are pure in our Krishna consciousness, then we can inspire others to be Krishna conscious. Then it is possible. Even then you have to see, because preaching Krishna consciousness means not everyone will take it. Our duty as preachers of Krishna consciousness is to speak to others about Krishna, and then others they may take or may not take. That is their own choice. It's not by force. We can try to induce others to take to Krishna consciousness, but if they remain doubtful of Krishna, they don't want to surrender to Krishna, they have no interest in Krishna, what can we do? Our duty is only to try. One more question. All right.
Thank you.
Well, they like performing Sankirtan here, but when they get back home, the TV goes on again. Is that what you're saying? Well, there we go. That's what I was talking about. Sentimental attachment and sentimental devotion and solid attachment. So that will come. Real attachment to Krishna will come when we have the solid attachment based on scriptural understanding. So when you're living on the 10th floor of a building, when you throw your TV out, make sure there's no one underneath. And in that space, the extra space in your home, you put a set of Srila Prabhupada's books. Then you can make more advancement. Actually, much better. You see, this TV, it's like some intoxication. It's easy. Why do people take intoxication? Because it's just some easy high. You just, and then. So TV is like that. You turn it on and then you don't have to think anymore. Just sit there. But it actually, it's called the idiot box. Because it makes you into an idiot. You have to be an idiot to want to watch it anyway. So for upliftment, one should think how to uplift the consciousness. That is possible by Krishna consciousness. So it takes some resolve. You have to have some resolve not to just be a vegetable consciousness, no more intelligent than a potato. But you have to think, what am I doing with my human life? You hear this in the lecture, and you go back and turn on. Wait a minute, that's when I was a kid. It used to be turn it on. Now it's. See, I'm not watching TV. This is the proof, in case you were doubting. So instead of watching TV, you say, what is watching TV? You're watching some drama of someone doing something. Why don't you do something? Instead of watching someone else do something, you do something positive yourself, such as chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping Krishna. What are you, all the great personalities in the universe, what are they doing? Brahma Adi Kari, what are they doing? What are all the demigods doing? Shiva Shuka Narada, Preme Gada Gada. They're coming to Gauranga's Arati, so you can do also. Worship Krishna. It's simply living like a moron. Whatever nonsense on TV, you have to watch it. This is not intelligent. Think, what are you doing with your life? If you think about it, then you should take up Krishna Bhakti. You've got better things to do at home. You have arati. Study Srimad Bhagavatam, invite friends. Those who are taking up Krishna consciousness seriously, they don't have time anyway for all these things. Because you have to chant at least 16 rounds a day. Then you should make some program. I have to study like this. I have to teach my children. What if your children grow up and they know the names of the cricket players more than the incarnations of God? Most Indian children do, isn't it? They know the names of they know all the leelas of the cinema stars. They don't know Krishna. Isn't it? They don't know Krishna leela. But they know what all the cinema stars, who they married, who they divorced, and how long, it's only a short time before these are going to divorce. And in the meantime, when they get divorced, this one's going to marry that one, and that one's going to marry again that one. And all these things, which is all nonsense. Not at all conducive towards advanced human civilization. So better give something better. Later on, if your children take up that way of life by their own choice, what can you do? But as parents, your duty is to guide in the proper way. So just because everyone else is foolish doesn't mean you individually have to be foolish. Krishna conscious movement is meant for making people intelligent. At the present time, the whole modern world civilization is for making people into fools, really. And TV, what they show on TV is just the proof. What rubbish. The movie industry, what rubbish. Billions of dollars spent on just rubbish. That's all. So Krishna conscious movement means to be intelligent, not to be carried away by this foolish civilization. So, we have to finish, is it? Please consider this. If you're still watching TV, you're really spoiling your human life. You got this human life after many, many births. You can get born as a snake, a cat, a camel, a dog, an insect. Now you got the human form of life. You should use that for elevation of consciousness. Try to understand who is God. Get free from birth and death. You can do it by being Krishna conscious. But why be sucked in watching TV and having material ambitions? Simply, TV means to increase calm, crowd, and lobe, isn't it? What are the three enemies of self-realization? Calm, crowd, lobe. And what is TV? Calm, crowd, lobe. Sex, fighting, and advertisements. Sex means calm, that's TV. Crowd, fighting, that's TV. And lobe, buy this, buy that, buy something else. Advertisements. That's the whole TV. That's what it is. Don't be victimized. These are the three gates to hell. Krishna says in Gita. If a person is Krishna conscious, should he go for a further career? It depends in different circumstances. I can't give a blanket statement. It's not that a Krishna conscious person may not have a good career, so-called good career. He may also. But just as a general statement, we say that don't think that your so-called good career is the purpose of life, and on the basis of that, give up your Krishna consciousness. We're not saying that Krishna conscious people can't be or shouldn't be or may not be materially successful also. Why not? Better we have a Krishna conscious leaders than all these rakshasas who are opening slaughterhouses and so many different things. So we're not against that, but exactly in individual circumstances we have to see. And I know people who have given up their so-called better job to get a so-called less good job, because in the good job they have to work like 70 hours a week. They get more money, but they don't get time even to hardly even sleep or eat, let alone chant Hare Krishna. So recently I know someone in India who, great job, great career prospect, except their whole life is just work, 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 work. So they gave it up. All their friends say it's crazy. They have a normal job. They 5 o'clock they're finished. Come home, take a bath, go to the temple. So it's better off. At least I'm getting to know my family now. Otherwise I was working for my family, but they don't even know who I am. So even from the material point of view, what to speak of spiritual point of view. Prabhupada told one story, it's a true fact, that one boy, he was 10 years old, he saw his father in the home and said to his mother, "Who is that man?" Because he always used to go to work before his son got up and come back after he came, and he hardly had any holidays. So then the boy, 10 years old, he saw that one time his father got some holiday. "Yeah, who is that? He's working so hard for his family, but the family don't even know who he is. He doesn't know who they are either. What's the use?" Hare Krishna, we have to finish it.